Tonight from Washington, high drama for President Trump's first State of the Union address. What will he say, and will he strike a new tone? NBC News getting a first look at the speech. Also tonight, as the president touts the Wall Street boom, a different view for many on Main Street.
So I see the stock market going up, and I see a lot of more millionaires and billionaires being made, but I'm not feeling the effects of that.
A lot of middle-class families still waiting for the boom to reach them. Shocking new developments in that false alarm missile warning in Hawaii. Officials now say the worker who triggered widespread panic thought a real attack was imminent. A dangerous close call caught on camera. A Russian fighter jet gets within 5 feet of a U.S. Navy plane. And a potential game changer from Amazon, the company that revolutionized the way we shop, makes a big move about the future of healthcare.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West from Washington. As we look at the U.S. Capitol, our backdrop and site of tonight's State of the Union address, just over a year on the job as president, Donald Trump will tell Congress and the American people tonight how he thinks we're doing as a country and, by extension, how he is doing as its leader. In his first State of the Union speech, count on the president to take a victory lap for an economy that's continued to grow under his presidency and list tax cuts among his major accomplishments. But he also comes to this end of Pennsylvania Avenue tonight, saddled with remarkably low approval ratings in a country deeply polarized. This afternoon at a White House luncheon with network TV anchors, the president acknowledged that divide, telling us he would consider it a great achievement if we could make our country united. Our chief White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson, has more.
Tonight, the most traditional of speeches for a president who's anything but. White House officials tell NBC News President Trump has been working on the remarks since December, scrawling notes by hand on each draft. He'll pay special attention to economic progress in the last year, even after questioning the accuracy of some of those same economic numbers during his campaign.
The numbers they put out are phony as far as I'm concerned.
The president thinks our economic recovery is all thanks to him, when reality is that he owes a lot of it to Barack Obama.
Overall, expect more optimism than his inaugural.
This American carnage stops right here.
And more bipartisanship, too. Not the first time he's made that push.
The time for trivial fights is behind us.
Since then, the president has personally insulted almost 20 of the people who will be in the audience tonight. That crowd, composed of lawmakers, some wearing all black in solidarity with the Me Too movement. Guests in the First Lady's box include hurricane heroes, business owners benefiting from the new tax law, and a police officer who adopted a baby whose mother was addicted to opioids. Dozens of dreamers will be there, too, like some we met today, watching from home, wondering about their future.
What do you want to hear from Donald Trump?
I want a consistent, clear message of what he wants to do.
What message would you give the president?
We won't stand for being used as pawns in political games.
If you really love this country, do what is right and support us, because we would like to support this country as well.
And keep in mind the backdrop to all of this for Donald Trump: record low approval ratings for this point in a presidency, the shadow of the Russia investigations, and the threat of a government shutdown just 9 days from now. Lester?
Hallie Jackson of the White House. We'll see you shortly during our primetime speech coverage. With the president expected to tout the state of the economy, a boom on Wall Street, the Dow up 30% since his inauguration, and unemployment falling for several years now at a 17-year low. But in cities and towns across the country, a lot of families are still waiting for that economic boom to reach them and their wages. NBC's Jolene Kent now with the state of the middle class.
This shark is huge.
Carolyn and Adrian Richardson live paycheck to paycheck.
We're digging into savings and making it work.
Carolyn recently quit her job in the music industry because childcare for her young twin sons cost more than her salary.
I've been there 12 years. My salary had mostly been the same. You know, you get the little small raises that everybody gets, but nothing substantial.
Wages for Americans are flat, growing just 2.5% in the last year. And the number of Americans who are working part-time but who want a full-time job is about 5 million, just slightly better than at the start of the Great Recession.
I see the stock market going up, and I see a lot of more millionaires and billionaires being made, but I'm not feeling the effects of that.
But in a tale of two Americas, some sectors like professional services, healthcare, and construction are booming.
If I could hire 50 guys tomorrow, I would. Everybody's cool.
Mike Brewer now pays workers more at his plumbing business in Phoenix.
We've had an increase of 20 to 30% in wage growth over the last 3 years.
But experts say if wages don't start to grow across all industries, Americans could be facing another downturn.
We're growing at the low end, and workers' wages at the very, very high end are also increasing. But for the bulk of the middle, there's not much improvement.
We pay our bills.
Carolyn Richardson isn't giving up, now starting her own business.
I just take life week to week, month to month, and hope for the best.
And you're taking it into your own hands.
Yeah.
Jolene Kent, NBC News, Encino, California.
And tonight's State of the Union comes amid the firestorm here in Washington over that secret Republican memo. The White House now reviewing the document that alleges anti-Trump bias by the FBI and Justice Department dating back to the early days of the Trump campaign. Here's NBC News national correspondent Peter Alexander.
The release of that deeply divisive document would be unprecedented, relying on a never-before-used House rule. Aides say the president still hasn't seen the memo, but he's expected a green light making it public within days. Speaker Paul Ryan now endorsing the Republican effort.
There may have been malfeasance at the FBI by certain individuals. Sunshine is the best disinfectant.
Democrats argue the memo's misleading, accusing Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes of trying to undermine the Russia inquiry.
The fundamental problem remains, and that is he is a proxy for the White House. You can't run a credible investigation that way.
Nunes today dismissing questions.
Got to talk to the Democrats. They talk to you. I don't.
And tonight, even as the CIA director warns Russia will try to interfere in this fall's midterms, the Trump administration is not ordering any new sanctions now. Instead, just ahead of a deadline mandated by Congress, publishing a list of Russian politicians and oligarchs. Those names, Treasury aides acknowledge, largely lifted from Forbes magazine.
The Trump administration is signaling that they have no beef with the Russians about what they did in 2016. And they need to know that if they do that again, there'll be consequences.
Peter Alexander, NBC News, the White House.
Let's bring in two members of our primetime State of the Union team, Savannah Guthrie and Chuck Todd. Chuck, the president will have a laundry list, but a pretty narrow calendar with the midterm elections to get it done.
He does. I think, look, the big challenge for him is how does he make tonight seem special? We hear from this president all the time. And so unlike previous State of the Unions where this is an opportunity, in some ways it's just another night. So he almost needs to realize that going in and realize that this is a night, at best, he can maybe just whip up his supporters.
And Savannah, presidents typically do the speech. They hop on Air Force One the next day and sell it. How will this president sell his plans?
Well, the White House says that he will sell it, and he will be selling these initiatives. But as I understand it, there are no travel plans on the books right now. For him, if he has a good night and the State of the Union gives him the potential to have a good night, he gets all the pomp and circumstance surrounding it. For him, it's stay out of your own way. Don't tweet the next day and start another firestorm. I think it was 5 days after the joint address to Congress last year that he made those allegations about President Obama wiretapping him. So he had had a big night on his big night before Congress and stepped on his own message. So he has to avoid that.
We'll have a lot more to talk about tonight during primetime. Thanks to both of you for now. There is new fallout tonight after that frightening false alarm in Hawaii, the message that warned people to take cover from an incoming missile attack. Federal investigators now say the person who triggered that alert really believed an attack was imminent. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer on how it all went wrong.
This is not a drill.
The alert that sent a wave of fear across Hawaii was sent by an employee who thought the threat was real. Warning of an incoming ballistic missile, the message triggered panic.
A missile may impact on land or sea within minutes.
The false alarm came from this civil defense bunker on January 13th, 8:05 a.m., a routine drill by the overnight shift. A phone recording starts, exercise, 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 but includes, this is not a drill. 8:07 a.m., a day shift worker, fearing a real missile attack, warns the public from a computer. Then a drop-down menu asks, are you sure you want to send this alert? He clicks yes. Tonight, that employee has been fired.
He has performance issues, and throughout the 10 years, he has confused drills at least two times.
It takes 38 minutes to issue a new alert. No threat.
This is the state warning point.
Tonight, Vern Miyagi, the Emergency Management Agency administrator, has resigned, taking full responsibility. The FCC saying the state didn't have reasonable safeguards in place and didn't have a plan for what to do if a false alert was transmitted.
That's really serious. Like, that's life and death right there.
Really unprofessional.
Tonight, testing inside this bunker has been suspended, and so has the public's faith in the warning system. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
There was big news today from three of the nation's corporate giants who today announced plans to join forces to drive down health care costs. Amazon, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Berkshire Hathaway offered few specifics on how they'll do it, but all three and their CEOs have reputations for driving innovation and change. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
Across the country, we've met the people struggling with skyrocketing health care costs. Maggie Kadurka fighting breast cancer, the Witzler family and a two-year-old with special needs, the Sullivan family with an autistic son, and so many more. Now, three mega companies and their influential CEOs say they're forming a partnership to drive down health care costs for their combined 1 million employees. Billionaire Warren Buffett saying the ballooning costs of health care act as a hungry tapeworm on the American economy.
Healthcare in America is a big mess, and it comes down to cost.
Healthcare makes up a staggering 18% of the U.S. economy, costing each American roughly $10,000 a year, more than any country in the world. The new partnership says it will be free from profit-making incentives and use technology solutions to provide high-quality healthcare at a reasonable cost. How? Potentially by using their combined buying power to drive prices lower, or by cutting out middlemen like pharmacy benefit managers. Amazon is already reportedly preparing to sell prescription drugs. Today's announcement so big it drove down the stock prices for big healthcare players.
We spend way too much, and we're getting far too little. So they're going to try to make the system more efficient. What they can do, we'll have to see.
While today's announcement was light on specifics, experts say it has the potential to be a healthcare game changer. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Tonight, the head of the National Institutes of Health tells NBC News his top priority is developing a better flu vaccine. Less than half of Americans get vaccinated because they don't think it's worth it. But public health officials are hoping this current epidemic will change people's minds and save lives. Kerry Sanders is on the front lines tonight.
Play the one you
in Las Vegas, 12-year-old Carlos Occhipenti, fun-loving and full of life, died in his mother's arms from the flu.
He goes, Mom, I feel so dizzy.
He landed on me. He was literally like he stopped breathing.
Hospitals overwhelmed.
We have the flow meters on every bed.
Today, Atlanta's Grady Memorial put up a mobile ER. And in Tampa today, nurses prepped flu shots for a free vaccine clinic tomorrow.
What is it that causes somebody to die from the flu?
It really has to relate to someone developing pneumonia or other complications related to the flu. So not necessarily the flu itself.
One bit of good news, 6-month-old Alaya, who we saw last week fighting for her life, is now back at home.
She's been a miracle the whole time.
A survivor in a brutal flu season. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Tampa.
Still ahead tonight, he sparked a big backlash with what he said about women in music. And now the Grammys president is changing his tune. Also, our Richard Engel, who's brought us so many powerful stories, now shares his own, opening up about his 2-year-old son's harrowing medical battle. We're back now with something that hits very close to home for our NBC News family. We all know our friend Richard Engel from his fearless reporting in some of the world's most dangerous places. But tonight, Richard and his wife Mary are sharing their own personal story about their 2-year-old son Henry, the surprising diagnosis they received, and the challenges they're facing as a family with courage and hope.
When Henry was born just over 2 years ago, he was sweet and beautiful. But quickly, things didn't seem quite right.
The problem was Henry wasn't really progressing. He wasn't sitting up when he should. He wasn't clapping his hands when he should. We went to every doctor we could find.
Cardiologist,
hearing, sight, blood tests. And
gastroenterologist,
everybody.
Every-ist.
Hello.
We decided to do a full genetic scan. The results came in last September while I was with U.S. troops in South Korea.
I called you. I said, we have a result. And I said, it's not good. It's not just delay. It means lifelong, permanent, untreatable physical and intellectual impairment. And you...
I just said, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Doctors told us Henry has a serious genetic disorder. In girls, it's called Rett syndrome. For boys, it's very rare.
Good job. Good job.
He'll likely never walk, talk, dress himself, or have the mental capacity beyond a toddler.
Kids with this mutation tend to have epilepsy or seizures.
No matter what's coming, we want Henry to know he's loved. To stimulate and give him exercise, we do physiotherapy at home or at a hospital every day.
Very good.
But now there's hope Henry could hold the key to a treatment.
Henry's mutation is unique in the world. But it because it's unique is what makes it so valuable. Sometimes from the rarest thing, you can learn the most.
Henry doesn't produce enough of a protein called MECP2, essential for brain function. Dr. Hoda Zoghbi's lab in Texas has collected Henry's cells.
So these are Henry's cells. We're using them to monitor the level of MECP2 protein.
Dr. Zoghbi says if she can find a way to boost the protein safely, it would be a breakthrough for Henry and potentially many children with genetic disorders. We first told our story this morning on the Today Show to raise awareness of special needs children and genetic disorders. We've since had an outpouring of support. Now we hope the next step will be a treatment, and maybe Henry can take us there.
And Richard, you guys are all family, and we are all deeply touched by your strength here. What I found interesting is if they can find the key for Henry, potentially they can unlock a door that's going to change a lot of lives.
And that's what this research lab in Texas is focusing on. They think his mutation is one of a kind, and that if they can figure out a way to fix Henry, that it could open the doors for lots and lots of different kinds of genetic treatments. So they're working on it, and they're working on it with Henry's cells. And there's a lot more specific scientific information for families that want this kind of to learn more on the Knightley Facebook page.
All right, well, know that we are rooting for you, and we're certainly rooting for the science.
Thank you very much.
Richard Engel, thank you. We'll take a break and be right back. Caught on camera, a close call, a Russian fighter jet veering into the path of a U.S. reconnaissance plane over the Black Sea, coming within about 5 feet at one point. U.S. military officials call it an unsafe intercept, but Russian officials push back, saying the U.S. plane was getting close to their airspace. That sound you hear is the president of the Recording Academy backtracking amid a backlash over only one woman winning one of the top categories at the Grammys. Neil Portnow was quoted as saying women need to step up. Portnow now saying those words have been taken out of context. In a new statement, he clarifies, quote, our industry must recognize that women who dream of careers in music face barriers that men have never faced. We must actively work to eliminate these barriers and encourage women to live their dreams and express their passion and creativity through music, he said. And better set your alarm to catch a rare phenomenon in the sky overnight, a super blue blood moon. It's a mouthful, and that's when a super moon, a blue moon, and a blood moon all happen at once. There hasn't been one visible in the U.S. for 152 years. Those in the West have the best chance to see it. When we come back, the former reporter who's gone from writing about crime to fighting it. Finally tonight, the story of a police officer with an unusual resume. Before joining the force, she had an entire other career as a reporter. But now she's gone from informing the public to protecting it. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has her story.
Taylor, how are you?
This is not the lifestyle Taylor Dungeon ever imagined.
People are like, you're nuts.
She's now a Toledo police officer, but it's her previous job that's so unusual.
So this is your old desk?
Yeah, this is...
As a crime reporter for the Toledo Blade, Dungeon wanted to help readers understand why parts of the city were descending into violence.
We call it gangland.
So she started making a detailed map of gang activity. It turned into an award-winning series.
Crime reporting is all about people, and police work is all about people.
But listening to scanner traffic wasn't enough.
Honestly, and it's super cliche, but I just wanted to be able to help people.
Secretly at first, the single mom signed up to take the police test. When she passed, she traded her pen for a badge, stunning the newsroom.
You really want to jump into that.
If that's what she wants to do, then she'll go after it.
You have the best police reports written in the state of Ohio.
Dungeon took that leap 7 months ago.
Do you miss being in a newsroom?
No, I don't. You're all right.
And she's now giving back more than she ever thought possible.
I've come to realize from a police officer perspective is that people are way more alike and way more similar than they think.
Insight from a cop with an eye for a good story. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Toledo, Ohio.
Thanks for being with us tonight. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday. Be sure to join us for our special coverage of President Trump's State of the Union address beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night for now.